The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
This year, we focus on the resurrection account as told by the writer of Luke's gospel. I find it intriguing that every gospel writer gives us a bit of a different angle on this event, but I have to admit that I'm a bit of a fan of Luke's, if only because it puts me there in the middle of it. On the first day of the week, as the sun began to rise over the horizon, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and some others went to the tomb with the customary spices prepared. Note, these are the same women who have been following Jesus since chapter 8, and they are the same women who have been providing financially for the needs of all 12. They dedicated their lives to Jesus' ministry. They have loved Jesus and cared for him. And 2.5 days ago, they watched him die. I'm sure that as they walked toward that tomb, they were heartbroken. All the hopes they had carried with Jesus dead with him. But their work of caring for him wasn't done, at least not until his body had been prepared properly for burial. When they got to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. So they went in, and they didn't find the body. While they were perplexed and confused about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified. They looked to the ground, and the men spoke to them. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And then they say, remember what he told you, that he would be handed over, crucified, and on the third day rise again. And then it clicks for them. It was true. These women had heard Jesus say those things. They hadn't understood them before, but now it fell into place. How could they have understood before? Certainly, they had witnessed Jesus' miracles, his deeds of power, the way he changed lives and changed the world around him. They had seen them. those things and believed in him. But they'd never seen Jesus himself die. How could they have imagined that he would not only bring back another, but himself too? But now they could see, they understood. Indeed, they were looking for the living among the dead, and they had to go and share the news with the disciples. Bless those disciples who once again, in a moment of almost apocalyptic significance, don't believe these faithful women. Idle tales, they say. But the women believe. They see now that not even death is strong enough to hold Jesus. Their God is larger than life and death. So what does that mean for us? Because certainly we can't imagine anything more final than death. I can't think of anything that I would see as more irreversible, more final than dying. So if we believe that Jesus was dead, and then Jesus wasn't dead anymore, what does that mean? I think it means that there is no situation that is irredeemable. There is no circumstance that you can think of or endure where hope cannot be found. There is no time or person who is hopeless. I recognize that sometimes the redemption of a person or situation comes in a way that we don't expect. But redemption comes. Hungry children get fed. LGBTQ persons are welcomed. Refugees are given a home. Indigenous peoples get clean water. People fight for justice in the middle of a war. Leaders realize that bombs are not the answer. Sometimes in our world, it's hard to see, but it's there, the redemption, in one form or another. It's there. Now I need to go back to those disciples before we cast them off entirely. We do recognize that even though they were slower to get there, they did get there. And these disciples ended up sharing the good news of the resurrection far and wide, which we will hear in the weeks to come described in the book of Acts. After the resurrection, Jesus' disciples continued the work of spreading the good news, that same work of redemption. Today, though, the problem is that we can fall easily into the trap of thinking that this is all just a pretty story for a sunny April morning. Time for dressing up and enjoying some chocolate eggs. But that's not how it works. Because as much as this story happens at what is almost the end of the gospel, it is really only just the beginning of the story. In fact, you are a part of how this story continues today. And you have two choices. Your first choice is to act. To act for good. To be the hands and feet of the risen Christ in the world today. To feed the hungry. To clothe the naked. Visit those sick and imprisoned. To stand up against powers that think that bombs are the answer. To dismantle systems that perpetuate inequality and suffering. To love at all cost. To forgive. To be generous. To put down stones instead of throw them. These are the choices of the followers of Christ. But there's another choice. You can choose to do nothing, because that too is a choice. But in making that choice, then you become complicit in all the things that those who choose to act are working against. Now, I know that deciding to act day after day takes courage and conviction and faith and sometimes just blind determination. I know that believing day after day that there is redemption in the darkest situations is hard. I know, because I'm right there with you. But I also know that the tomb that those women found, just as dawn broke that Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. Jesus was dead, and then he was not dead anymore. He is alive. And because I believe Jesus lives, I believe that nothing is impossible for God. I believe that hope is never lost. And I believe that we can make this world look a lot more like the kingdom of God here on earth today. Happy Easter, sisters and brothers. Enjoy a couple of chocolate eggs. But then let's put the eggs aside and change the world. Amen.